Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter 13. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 13 tonight very briefly. And I love imagining. I tell our young people in our church as well, when I get the opportunity to preach, I like trying to travel in my mind to where I'm preaching about. I've never been to Israel. Now might not be the best time to go. We need to pray for Israel, but I've never been there. Now I want to go. Now my pastor won't go. Brother Brian takes literally the word of God when it says, "Lo, I'll be with you always." He won't get on a roller coaster. He's not going to get on a plane at Carowinds, let alone to fly to Israel. But I think about that. But as we travel tonight in this text, we are with Abram's family, and they are coming up out of Egypt. And I'll say more about that in just a second. And they're headed to Bethel, back to the place of the beginning, back to the original altars. Let me tell you, it's not the message, but it's always good to go back to where God met with you. And you study the book of Job and where Job met with God. Why did Job sit down at the ashes? That's the last place he met with God. And he knew if he sat there long enough, Brother Jonathan, God would come back and meet with him. That's what Abram's doing. He's going back to the original altars here in Genesis chapter 13. And surely, I tell our kids often, most of the time when I preach out of a book, I try to give them a description how to find it. If you can't find Genesis, we need to talk after church, because just go to the left and turn right. And our kids love it. I say, go to 1 Kings. And I said, somebody tell me where 1 Kings is. They said, before 2 Kings. And that's exactly right as well. We got a bunch of geniuses at our church. But you are exactly right. Genesis chapter number 13. I want to read just for a second tonight. And I want to give you a simple thought, be an encouragement for you. Let me tell you, I'm not your pastor. And I wouldn't do anything to instruct your church in any way that he wouldn't instruct your church. And I don't know none of you. I've not read your mailbox. And again, I don't even know really how I got here tonight. I know I come out and I'm going to turn left and go back to Dairy Queen or somewhere when I leave here. But I am encouraged tonight to see a parking lot full. And I sit out there really because I was nervous and didn't want to come in. But I sit out there and watch car after car after car pull in on a Sunday night. I mean, commend you for that. I heard Brother Leonard Fletcher say one time, Brother Jonathan, if you come to church on Sunday morning, you love your church. You come to church on Sunday night, you love your preacher. If you're here on Wednesday night, you love the Lord. Let me encourage you. Be faithful, be faithful. Be faithful. If something's going on, listen, I know it's like these kids think they got drug problems. If something's going on, your car ought to be a magnet to hear. And you drive by, the car just sucks you right in. That's what happened when I was growing up, and I'm thankful for that. They may not be appreciative of it now, but I promise you one day I'm living proof that they will be. Genesis 13, verse number 1. Your Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south." Let me stop right there and say, look back. If you look right across the page, or at least in my Schofield, it's right across the page, we notice that there was a famine, and Abram has took his family down into Egypt. You will not find a place where God told him to take them to Egypt. You will not find a place where God instructed him. That's where he had to go in order for God to supply his need. But anytime you see that word Egypt, there's always usually a four-letter word of down somewhere around it. And that's where he's coming back out of, and we'll look at the consequences shortly. "And Lot with him into the south. And Abram," verse number 2, "was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar that we spoke about a while ago, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled there then in the land." Verse number 8, notice, "And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Verse number 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou shalt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zorah." Verse number 11, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Verse number 13, our last verse this evening. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to be here with this great church. God, thank you for their pastor, God, and the honor to stand behind the pulpit, God, that you've entrusted to him. And I pray, God, tonight, for the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us, God, be an encouragement to this church. God, also to challenge our hearts as you've challenged us in this text. And I pray, God, that you make a big way tonight, make yourself shown big. God, we thank you for the busyness, God, here and the excitement, God, and the schedule. Lord, I thank you, God, that they're busy doing something for you, God, and I encourage them to keep at that. And we thank you and praise you tonight in advance for what you're going to do. In your name I pray. Amen. The Jonestown flood, let me give you something. I love history, and again, I said I went to school with some of you, and I didn't, listen, F was not for fabulous in school. Now, I ain't saying I made Fs, but I loved history, and I began to think about this message when God gave it to me a few months ago, and I began to think about this passage that had crossed my desk or crossed my life, and it was in Pennsylvania in 1889. The Jonestown flood, locally the Great Flood of 1889, occurred on Friday, May the 31st of 1889, after the catastrophic failure of the South Fork Dam, located on the South Fork of the Little Kalona River, 14 miles upstream from Jonestown, Pennsylvania. Many of you may have been there before. I have not, but I can visually put myself there tonight at this event. The dam broke after several days of extremely heavy rainfall, releasing 14.55 million cubits of meters of water. But Brandon, how much water is that? That's a lot of water. I don't know. Again, that's math. I understand that. That's a bunch of water. With a volumetric flow rate that temporarily equaled the average flow rate of the Mississippi River. The flood killed more than 2,200 people and has accounted for $17 million worth of damage, which is about $484 million in 2019 when this article was written. So long story short, that day was a catastrophic event there in Jonestown, Pennsylvania. I was not there that day, but many people lost their life. If you were to return to Jonestown, Pennsylvania today, it would not look like it did before this flood. What used to be schools are now museums, and what used to be factories are now parks and monuments with families' names, no doubt on walls and on benches and on buildings, because this day literally forever changed the path and changed the future for Jonestown, Pennsylvania. Say, Brother Brandon, what in the world does that got to do anything with Genesis chapter number 13? Well, I begin to think about that day and how it happened. I understand it had been raining for a long time, and understand that city was downstream from that humongous dam there at South Fork Dam. But I begin to wonder what took place on that day and the events leading up to it, because as I've learned, again, it could have been from Hollywood, or it could have been from a movie house or wherever, but understand this, when one of those dams break, it don't just happen all of a sudden. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't all of a sudden just, the birds are flying and the butterflies are flying, and all of a sudden it just boom and it goes. I think about kids. I've never done this, but I watch it on YouTube all the time. People put kayaks in swimming pools, and somebody pokes a hole in the side of the swimming pool, and they go riding across the yard. I'd love to do that. But my in-laws would not like me to do that to the swimming pool. But I can imagine the flow. There was, you couldn't hold it back. There was no tarp. There was no cup that you could hold up and try to catch it in. When that thing let loose, it literally, there was no hope for anybody that was downstream. But I began to think about that day, and I wasn't there, and I don't know what the order of business was that day. But I just wonder if there was somebody that was stationed there that day on that dam. Someone that maybe has seen a rock shift, or maybe as you've seen in aquariums. I mean, I still get nervous going to the Ripley's Aquarium riding through that thing, because I'm thinking I'm with 20 teenagers, and I don't want to die with 20 teenagers under this thing if this water lets loose and this thing breaks. I don't want to go like that, Brother Jonathan. I love them, but not that much. I don't want to die and to drown with 20 teenagers. So I begin to think about that day. Maybe one pebble came out. Then another pebble came out. Then one squirt went here and one squirt went there. And I can imagine somebody running, literally trying to get to the town, but it was too late. He didn't. Maybe he did rescue some, and maybe he got the warning out of someone running through the town. And I don't think they had Facebook back in 1889, so where someone could post a picture or an emoji of a bunch of water coming, because I don't think they had that back then. But I can imagine him running through the town saying, the dam's going to break, the dam's going to break, and get out, I've seen what's coming, and it's not good. And I don't know if it was that way or not that day. But I would hope to say that somebody, or if I was there that day, that I'd be sounding a warning that devastation is coming. What does that got to do with Genesis chapter number 13? Let me tell you tonight, I'm looking at the scriptures tonight, looking at the pages of scriptures, and as I read this, again, I like to use imagination as well, I could almost see myself yelling and screaming at Lot and his family, saying, you're fixing to mess up. You're fixing to go the wrong way. Turn around. You don't see what you're going to. And he can't hear me tonight. But I believe with all my heart, if he could, I want to preach tonight on that thought, the five D's of destruction. Brother Brandon, what did happen in Lot's life? And what if we could literally talk to him tonight and say, did you not notice this? Or if I could have talked to him in advance, or if someone would have warned him, if somebody would have showed him what he was fixing to lose, I believe Lot's family would have went a different direction. I know he had Abram, but I also know Abram was responsible for taking him to Egypt. I also know, when I get ahead of myself, that Abram's idea was for him to separate, but it was the devastation of Lot. Now, I understand the New Testament tonight calls him a righteous man, and preacher, I don't understand that at all, but according to our King James Bible, I'm going to meet him one day in heaven. The Bible said he's a righteous man. I don't know that, but I can't understand God's mercies and God's forgiveness, and that's why I'm saved. That's why you're saved as well. But if I could scream something tonight on the pages of Scripture to Lot and also to you, just as if I was at Pennsylvania that day when that dam broke, that's my desire tonight. Brother Brandon, what do you see in Lot's life? I believe there's multiple, but I got five things tonight that start with the letter D that I see in Lot's life tonight, that if I could have warned him, or if I could have told him, if I could have given him a sign or a warning or a siren, I believe it would have helped him in his life. And I know that if we'll apply them to our life, it'll help us tonight. I want you to notice, first of all tonight, the first D of destruction that I see in Lot's life that he walked past. Let me tell you, there's a lot of roadblocks, and you ought to thank God for a church that is busy, because every Sunday you get to have roadblock after roadblock and turn sign and road close sign. Say, Brother Brandon, I'm tired of someone telling me no. What that preacher and what other preachers and what your teachers are teaching you to do is don't go down this way. Don't walk this way. Don't destroy your life this way. And I'm telling you, we ought to be thankful for that. First of all tonight, the first D I see is the word distance. Distance led to destruction in Lot's life. But Brandon, where is it at? Distance is simply separating yourself from the will and the protection of God. Verse number 9 of this text is not the whole land before thee. Look at the next word. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Now, here's the problem with that. Where Abraham is, and where Abraham is, God's with him. And then Lot gets to tag along with him. So therefore, where Abraham is, there Lot is, there God is, and that's what's saving Lot's family. When Abraham prayed and heard God, Lot was there. When Abraham was blessed of God, Lot was there. When Abraham had prayer meeting, Lot, no doubt, and his herdman was there with him. But when he began to distance himself from the man of God and distance himself from the protection of God, he was headed for destruction. That word distance simply talks about, in definition, again, I had to look this up, I'm no scholar, but the extent or amount of space between two things, points, lines, or etc. The state of fact of being apart and set in space as one thing from another, or remoteness. Verse number 9, the Bible tells us that Abraham instructed him to separate himself. But little did he know that would begin the devastation and destruction of Lot's life. When we begin to separate ourselves from the protection and power of the Lord, we are headed for destruction. One of the greatest things I understand, I'm not sick tonight. I've already been through COVID, and I'm sick of talking about it just as much as you are. I know it's affected both of our churches. Let me tell you, one of the things that I fear for our churches, as the pastor already said, there's some people that's come to church the last time that they'll ever come to church. Now, you say, Brother Brandon, we can reach them. You're exactly right. But there's some people, now I'm not preaching down. I'm saying, I'd say this to my family. There's people in my family that's not in church, Brother Jonathan. It happens from the Jones family all the way to your family. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm living where you're living. I've got families sitting in prison. I've got families hooked on drugs. I've got family just as you've got family. I'm no better than you. But understand this. When we begin to separate ourselves, I can take you back to a time to where they walked away from God, or they walked away from their family, or walked away from a Bible-preaching church, and you say, Brother Brandon, I can make it. I can do it on my own. No, we can't, and no, we cannot. We began to separate ourselves, and Lot began to move away from the man of God, move away from the altars of God, because I can't see anywhere where Lot built an altar. He walked away, preacher, from the altar that Abraham had built. He was headed for destruction. We must daily be aware of our surroundings and make sure that we are drawing nigh to Christ and not away from Christ. Young people, I'm not your youth pastor either. You got a great one, but understand this. Friends are very simple. Brother Brandon, should I be this person's friend? They're either going to draw you towards Christ or they're going to push you away from Christ. And if they're pushing you away from Christ, then you need to get away from them. Separation will cause destruction. When Lot allowed himself to be separated from God's protection and the power, destruction was soon to follow. So first of all, tonight on the scripture, these pages, just as if I was in Pennsylvania that day or that day on the hillside going from Egypt to Bethel, I would be screaming at Lot, don't leave, don't leave, don't separate yourself, because I promise you, it's going to lead to destruction in his life, and it will in ours as well. Secondly, quickly tonight, not only do we see that distance leads to destruction, but the second D we're going to deal with tonight, and one that has convicted my heart, and again that I've lived with and my family's lived with, and no doubt we have all, is the word deluding. Brother Brandon, how does deluding lead us to destruction? Making God's commandments and God's words mean what I want them to mean. Making God's commandments and words mean what we want them to mean. Verse 13 of Genesis 13, the Bible says in verse 13, it says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Said, Brother Brandon, what's wrong with that? Lot knew better. Lot had been raised better. He'd been taught better. He had lived with a man of God. He knew right from wrong, but it looked good. It was green. The houses was bigger. The banks were bigger. And so he said, I know it's wrong, but I believe my family will be okay living in Sodom just because I'm telling you it looks better. But let me tell you what diluting is. Diluting, the easiest way, the East Bend definition, is simply watering down something that God has told us. Making something weaker in force, content, or value by modifying it to adding other elements. Verse number 13, we see that happening in Lot's life. Let me tell you three truths about diluting as I preach this point. Number one, once you dilute something, it will never be the same. Easiest illustration I know of that is sweet tea. I love sweet tea and I hate unsweet tea. It's an abomination to God. And I got a man in our church, Brother Cameron Hutchins. Many of you may know him from camp in different area. He left last Sunday to take an assistant pastor position in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Now, I'm not picking on him. He's not watching this, but I would not want to be at a church called Slippery Rock Baptist Church, but that's where he's at, Brother Jonathan. And he went to Pennsylvania, and I warned him. I said, you might as well buy all the sweet tea at Chick-fil-A you can buy, because I don't think they've got it close to Pittsburgh where you're going. I would not order tea. And he'll soon learn that. I've been to restaurants before where they give you unsweet tea or something that's not sweet, and then they have those little packets on the table that you can just pour in. You can never make it right once it starts off wrong. You can pour the whole thing in it. I mean, it'll look like snow inside of it, and it's still not going to taste right. Why is that? Because once something's been diluted, it can never be restored back to where it needs to be. Brother Brandon, my life's starting good, then good. My life's starting strong. I'm going to youth camp, and whatever kind of channel, whatever charge kids, whatever kind of kids y'all just came out of tonight, whatever you do, I'm telling you tonight, I'm going to tell you, say, Brother Brandon, I'm starting good. Can I warn you tonight, one of the deeds of destruction that I could preach tonight to Lot's family is don't allow diluting to enter your family. Once you dilute something, it'll never be the same. Once you dilute something, its strength will be weakened. Once you dilute something, its value is diminished. I give you two examples. The first of all, making weak. My mom and dad live in Yadkinville, which is another big metropolis that y'all may know about, right close to Gentry Funeral Home. They have a humongous hill in their front yard, which is great when you're witnessing, because all the kids want to come sledding at your house when it snows. Right on the side of 601, they had a big tree till my dad cut it down. And me and my dad went in house on a tractor. It's the worst decision I've ever made in my life, because he has totally destroyed their property, Brother Jonathan. Because, I mean, he's doing stuff for neighbors that ain't even asking for something just because he is an American farmer living in a development in Yadkinville, North Carolina. But in that tree, and nothing wrong with that. It's a John Deere 50 horsepower. If you want pictures of it, I got pictures of it on my phone. I'm thankful for it. And I'm tearing up stuff too. My wife said, don't bring home any more equipment. You're tearing up our yard. But let me tell you about their house. I don't know how I got off on the tractor, but either way, that big tree in front of their house, my brother, which is not much smarter than me, and I'm not going to say he's not smarter than me for embarrassing him tonight, but he ain't smarter than me, let's put it that way. He said, I think it'd be a good idea to put a swing in that tree, to swing out across that big yard, way up. And I said, that sounds like a great idea, except I had to get in the basket. We got my mom's clothes basket, that plastic clothes basket, and we tied ropes to the handles, and it was going wonderful for about 10 minutes. But that plastic began to change colors, and little did I know it was diluting, and I'm going somewhere with this back in the Bible. But it didn't happen on a backswing. It didn't happen when I was close to the ground. It happened when I was 40 foot up that hill, straight out. The handles broke out of that thing, and when I hit the ground, that basket exploded. He thought I was dead. I mean, I just laid there thinking, is this heaven? I didn't know where I was, but then I seen him, and I heard the car's going to 601. I said, there ain't going to be no transfer trucks in heaven. I don't believe so. It wasn't heaven. But, man, that basket exploded. You think we learned our lesson, but after I got my breath back and quit crying and he called me a baby and everything else, he said, let's find something with stronger handles. So we got the metal trash can, and that worked, but don't do that either. But, man, that plastic was no good. It couldn't hold what we were putting it through. I thought about that. Then I think about this. I don't know any of your guys here tonight by name, regardless of the fact if I did, I'd pick on you and embarrass you tonight. But let's just say, for instance, tonight that Brother Jonathan's going to get Miss Leslie. They're not married yet, which they are, by the way. But if they wasn't, and he went all the way to Africa to get a diamond, I mean, a real one. He went through jungles, and he's seen Rambo run by, and he's got machine guns. He's got all the way there to get a diamond. He's got that diamond. I mean, it is huge. He's doing a selfie. It's as big as a basketball beside his head. It's humongous. He gets back to the border to come home, and that guy says, well, you can leave, but I need a quarter of that diamond. So he shaves it off, and it's still really big, and Miss Lazy got to pull it in a little red water wagon around because it ain't going to fit on her finger. He gets back to the next custom check, and they say, you can go back, but I need a little piece of that diamond. He gets back to America. You can go in, but I need a little piece of that diamond. He gets home, and what once was the size of a Spalding basketball is now the size of a Fruity Pebble because he has chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. I tell you tonight, young people and older people is like, that's exactly what Satan wants to do to your life. That's exactly what he was doing to Lot's life. He was deluding. He wasn't necessarily just ripping his life apart, but he was saying, little by little, I'll let this slide, and I'll let this slide, and what once used to be a standard is not a standard anymore, and I'll just let it go. Can I tell you, it's just the same in our church as it is your church and everywhere in the world. We'll be against something till it comes into our family. I said, we'll be against something till it comes into our family. Mine just the same way. Brother Brandon, I'm standing against this. It's an abomination to God, but once it becomes a part of our family, then we don't want the preacher to preach about it. We don't want the missionary to speak about it. We don't want nobody to offend our family. Let me tell you, we're deluding ourselves, and we're headed for destruction. First of all, I noticed distance is leading Lot's family for destruction. But secondly, and probably most importantly, as far as in my life being a youth pastor, I don't want them to, Brother Jonathan, to dilute their life and allow Satan to water it down to where it's no more valuable. Young lady, what you have, what God's given you is more valuable than rubies. You ought to protect it. Young men, what God's given you is more valuable than diamonds and rubies. And all Satan wants to do is to dilute it to where literally your life is worth nothing. Now, Satan and the Lord still loves you. I understand that. Let me tell you, I want to be a Christian that's strong, that's 100% for God, that's not been deluded, that's living for the Lord, that's protecting my family. I understand it's not popular. I understand it's not socially correct. I understand it's not politically correct. But I'm just telling you, on the side of whatever mountain we are, in Mount Airy, Dobson, or wherever you're located, don't allow Satan to dilute your family, your church, your ministries. Stay strong, because I'm telling you, just as if I could scream that day in Jonestown, Pennsylvania, or if I could scream to Lot, you may not realize this, but your family's being diluted. Thirdly tonight, quickly, not only see distance and diluting, but I also see number three, and I'm going to hit this passing because I know everybody here gets along good, but it needs to be, and we argue, but discord. Discord, allowing situations to strain relationships. Verse number 7, what do we see here happening? There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. Brother Brandon, what started the whole process? Now, I believe Lot's heart was already gone. I'm not preaching on that tonight. I understand that he was looking towards Egypt, which is partly Abram's fault. He was wanting the things of Egypt. It's even made mention here that where he was going was like Egypt. But I can't help but think tonight that a little discord is what started the destruction of Lot's life. That word discord simply means strife or conflict, contentions, dissettledness. Also variance, meaning the state of condition marked by a lack of agreement. I like this word. It's an East Bend word as well, probably in Mount Airy too, but harmony. Everybody know what harmony means. Brother Brandon, how are we going to be effective church behind our man of God? There's got to be harmony. You get preaching, and you get harmony. You can build a church, Brother Jonathan. You get preaching, you get harmony. I love singing as well. I'm not that great, and I'm thankful he didn't ask me to sing tonight on a special because I would have had to deny or kill the service. That's what I bring Miss Christie with me for. I bring her for more than that, but that's what I bring her for. But I think about discord tonight. One of the most, and I say this without apology, and I'm not, again, I don't know anything going on in your church. Just put this on the credit and know that we don't need this. But one of the most destructive cancers in the modern day church and a Christian life is that of discord. I can't get along with this person. Let me just go as much as say this. You don't know nobody that I know, and this person don't go to either one of our churches, but I know somebody personally that hadn't been to church in 40 years. Let me tell you why. A Carowinds trip 40 years ago, somebody made a statement to their child and said, I remember how your dad was when he was younger, so you need to stay with me. Don't walk off with your friends. This man hadn't been in church for 40 years because somebody called his child down. Now, they may not should have said that. Let me tell you what's happening. That family is going to head for destruction because of a disagreement. Something that's not made right. I pick often my dad, he says, a pastor there on Siloam Road, and you start Siloam Road in Yakin County, there's enough churches on Siloam Road from there to Mount Airy. I'm not saying all bad, what happened? Somebody asked me jokingly one time, what happened? I said, somebody burnt somebody's hot dog, or somebody burnt somebody's marshmallow, and 2 miles up the road, cleared a field, and, you know, hammered down. I'm thankful God's moving greatly with a lot of them, and God's got that all worked out. I understand that. But discord will lead to destruction. What happened in a field that day, again, headed to Bethel, an argument, little did Lot know that it was going to destroy his family, cost his wife's life, cost the morality of his daughters, all because somebody couldn't get along. We're more concerned about being first, the best, and more desired or more well-populated that we see ourselves, that our soul gains momentum. We can't win the loss for the fact that we're too busy showing everyone why we are the best. Can I tell you, and they ain't none of us the best. They ain't none of us the best. If all my objective is to make sure that I'm out doing Amazing Grace or I'm out doing Glory Light or I'm out doing somewhere else, if that's my own desire, man, I'm headed for destruction. Brother Brandon, what are you saying? I understand I'm hitting this in passing, and I'm not feeling a need to touch on this tonight because I know everybody up here is the tulips is green. Everybody's getting along great. Let me just tell you, in Mount Airy, North Carolina, don't allow discord to cause destruction in your family. Brother Brandon, it don't matter. Really, does it matter? Maybe I do need to preach here just a second. Let me tell you, maybe it's just for our people at our church, but does it really matter? We're going through a series on Wednesday night of why some things do matter. Our scriptures matter. Our songs matter. Our dress matter. All of that matters, but there's some things that just don't matter. You say, Brother Brandon, I can't get over it. We're going to have to get over it and move on because I'm telling you, Brother Brandon, I want people to be saved. I want people to move to the altar. I want our church to grow. I'm telling you, discord, just like deluding and just like destruction, will cause us not to move forward. And Lot soon realized that. If I'm screaming to Lot tonight in the scriptures of Genesis 13, I'm telling him, Lot, you're distancing yourself. Lot, you're deluding yourself. Lot, discord. But fourthly, quickly, I see dissatisfaction is the fourth D. Allowing the world or the enemy to draw your desires and hungers towards pleasure. Verse number 10, verse number 11 of Genesis 13. You've seen it earlier. Let's read it quickly. And Lot lifted up his eyes. What did he see? He beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land, here's the word, of Egypt, that comest as thou comest unto Zorah. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated themselves the one from the other. What happened? The grass was greener on the other side. It's been said here before, and the grass is often greener on the other side, but most of the time, it's over a septic tank. My yard's dead except for what's over my septic tank right now, and this is green. You don't have to look for my septic tank lines right now in my house because they're green as a golf course, but the rest of my yard looks like the Sahara Desert because there's nothing underneath it. We said, Brother Brandon, what happened? Lot became unsatisfied with what God had given him, and he began to look for something that was more. God didn't tell him to go. God didn't give him instructions to go. God didn't tell him to move. You say, well, preacher, this is a better job or a better opportunity. If it's going to cost my family missing the house of God or cost us something happening, it's not worth it. You say, Brother Brandon, I need to be satisfied. I have a addiction, as many of you do. Listen, I like products as well. Your media team back there, it impresses me, and I've got an older iPhone now. I don't know what it is, but basically, it's because I don't want to spend $1,000 on the new one. I've got my iPhone so old that the case I've got looks like a new iPhone case, but it fits the old iPhones. I got a lot of open space here that doesn't really belong on my iPhone. You understand what I'm saying? I said that to say this. I could go to Best Buy tonight and take all of your college and career, which is wonderful, and both of our churches are moving in the same direction. Listen, we've got that age that we've invested in that's now moving into that, and I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing in your group and in our group, but I could take your college and your career class tonight as a gift for Brother Jonathan to Best Buy. I could go in, I could buy the latest and the greatest, and by the time we get them all checked out, they picked out their covers, and some of them's got kitty cats on the back, all of them's got pop sockets or whatever that is on the back, and we leave, the minute we walk out of the door, everything we just bought is out of date. somewhere in some factory at Apple or somewhere, wherever, Japan, Taiwan, or wherever it's being made, somebody has already made the next thing, and they're just waiting to release it and make millions and millions of dollars. Brother Brandon, what does that mean? As Americans, there's nothing wrong with wanting things. Listen, I love guns. If I go in a gun shop, well, I don't go much because Miss Christie has banned me from all of them, but if I go in, I may not need nothing, but I'm going to see something that the Holy Ghost is going to tell me that I need in my life when I go in there. All I do is say, Christie, I believe the Second Amendment right. I believe it's God's will for me to protect our family, and then eventually she just gives up. But I understand that. If I go to I was sitting in the parking lot and I was nervous. But here come one jacked up truck. And here come another jacked up truck. And I said, these are our kind of people. I like jacked up trucks. And I watched you park and I lusted over your vehicle. And I'm sitting in a Kia SUV. And I'm thanking God that you've got a big blacked up, jacked up truck. Where's that guy in the green shirt? Right there. Back there. And I want to see your truck before you leave. I like that truck. But I begin to think about that and think, bless God, I'm glad he's got them. You know what happens? All of a sudden, I'm sitting in a Kia Sorento. It belongs to my wife, but I'm wanting to be sitting in that Rocky Ridge that's sitting behind your fellowship hall. Why? I'm not satisfied. Now, I understand there's a thing. You say, Brother Brandon, should we be satisfied where we are with God? I understand we always need to be moving forward and not standing stagnant. Let me tell you, in our life, sometimes being unsatisfied will cause a destruction in our life. Brother Brandon, I've got to have this. And maybe. But I was taught early, and we use Dave Ramsey's stuff, and he's not a preacher, so I'm not promoting it tonight. But let me tell you, we use that word of affording, meaning I can afford the payment, not I can afford it by paying for it. There's nothing wrong. Listen, I like that brown Chevrolet sitting over there with them Kenda mud cleavers on it, Brother Jonathan, just as good as I like that other one. Why? More than likely, it's paid for. And Miss Christie's Kia right now, I took her, tried to buy her a car, Brother Jonathan. She said, I don't like it more than my car. Her Kia's paid for. And it burns like a quart and a half of oil every oil change, but I just keep putting oil in it. And she's happy. It's paid for. The title's in my gun safe. And I thank the Lord every time I walk by it. Say, Brother Brandon, what happens? Yes, I'd like her to have something different, but she won't pick nothing out. So I'm not going to make her get a car payment by no means, preacher. But I'm telling you tonight, I said all that to say this. Lot's life was just fine with Abraham. I would go as far to say this. I'm going to get ahead of myself. But let me give you the realness of this. Lot would have been better off to sell everything he had and stay with Abraham. Well, Brother Brandon, what do you mean? The Bible says Abraham was rich. Lot was rich. There wasn't enough room. Lot's family and Lot would have been better off to sell every camel, every donkey, everything that he had and stayed with the man of God. It would have saved his marriage. It would have saved his family. His daughters wouldn't have went out in wickedness and immorality. His family would have been together. But he chose to be dissatisfied and to look for the greener grass, to look for their house. Say, Brother Brandon, he just went and lived there. No, study your Bible. When the angels get there, Lot's sitting at the gate with the wise men of the town. He has not only accepted it, he's become part of it.
Yes, sir.
Say, Brother Brandon, it started out just deluding it, saying, well, kids, close your eyes if we walk into town. This is not right. Don't look at this. I know we're going to live here, but don't look at this. Keep your eyes shut. And then he's now a leader in this town. How did that happen? Dissatisfaction. Lot chosen the plain. Most Christians, including myself, will never be satisfied with what we have. The America and the real world outlook is there's always something better. Brother Brandon, we need to do this. We need to do this. Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with coming up a curvy road to a country church. Serving God, this is beautiful. I don't remember none of this when I was here last time. And I don't know if I was sleeping during service or not, but I understand this. Man, it's beautiful. There's nothing wrong. This house ought to be prettier than your house. I understand that and I believe that. And I commend you for that. Let me tell you, you said, Brother Brandon, we need more, we need more, we need more. And I understand having a hunger. But sometimes if we want to have church, we just sit back and thank God for what we've got. Thank you. Brother Brandon, I wish Brother Jonathan preached better. I do too. I'm just kidding. But hey, you say, Brother Brandon, well, how? Pray for him. Get behind him. Let him know, hey, listen, preacher, listen, if this is all God ever gives us, we're going to serve him wholeheartedly. We're going to hammer down, and we're not going to be dissatisfied. We spend more time searching for the new instead of serving in the now. Look at what God has done for us. I can make a list, and I've got my list on here when I preach this to our church, but I don't know your church, but I look at our pastor and facilities and means and fellowship and friendship and families. Look around the church. When's the last time you started? You say, Brother Brandon, I don't know how to pray for nobody. I can visually, Brother Jonathan, close my eyes and remember where families sit in our church, and you can pray for hours. Thank the Lord for the Hutchins family. Thank the Lord for the Davis family. Thank the Lord for the Smith family. Just go back. When's the last time you thank God for the families that's sitting beside you on the church pew? Well, Brother Brandon, I don't really know them. Everything's good in their life. When's the last time you thank God? Listen, their family could be in hell. Your family could be in hell. And you couldn't be serving together. There's people that go to church with me that 5 years ago, I would have never thought in a million years, Brother Jonathan, I didn't think I'd be serving where I'm serving. Listen, I got history with this. I'm not preaching down. I'm just saying, I never would have thought that. But God puts some things together, and we need to be thankful for what God puts together. Don't be dissatisfied. We see distance. We see diluting. We see discord. We see dissatisfaction. But lastly, one of the last D's that I see, and we could be here all night long. I'm not going to be. Again, I got a Dairy Queen or somewhere to get to when we leave here. But the fifth D I see in Lot's life, remember that the story I told you about Jonestown, Pennsylvania. Man, if I'd have been there that day, I'd done everything in my power, make sure my family was safe. But man, I'd have been running through the streets. I would like to think I'd have been screaming and shouting, guys, listen, the dam's fixing to break. Get your families out of here. Leave everything, just run. But for 2,200 people that we have documented, they didn't get the message in time. Lot's family is soon, I'm not preaching tonight on what happens, but you know what happens. God sends judgment on Lot's family. Well, I can't believe God would do that. Look back at your text. Abraham started at a high number and worked all the way down, and he couldn't even find five, Brother Jonathan. There was more than that many people in Lot's family, so he couldn't even get into his own family and find somebody that was living righteously. That's pretty bad. You read this text, and again, here, Lot's. Why did Lot's wife turn around? Because Lot took her there. Why did she have a desire to live in Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did she hear the screaming of neighbors and turn around looking back? Because somewhere down the line, or somewhere five, four D's before this, they allowed doubting, they allowed diluting, they allowed distance to distance their family, and now their family's ripped apart. Walking up that road out of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot has instantly become a widow. His wife's gone. All of a sudden, he's looking at the checks and balances, and what was once green and what was once great is now costing him. And he's in the red. He's in the red. He's in the red. Now his family's leaving. And a few chapters over, we get into a cave. And I'm not preaching yet tonight for the sake of little ears. But not only that, but his daughter's immorality that comes into their life. And all of that goes back. And Lot says, I wish someone had told me. I wish I'd have listened. I wish I hadn't have deluded. I wish I hadn't have left Abram. I wish I hadn't have doubted. I wish I wouldn't have had discord. I wish I'd have sold everything and stayed with the man of God. But he didn't. But tonight, we're sitting here, and most of you, by you being here tonight, you've still got a chance to make your life work for God. Young people, you're sitting on the front rows and back, and there's a lot of ladies up here, a lot of men throughout the church, and I don't know any of your names. Let me tell you, you've still got a shot to beat the odds and make God everything and come out of this thing a victor. Well, Brother Brandon, what percentage of your youth group are you wanting to stay in church at the age of 19? 100%. Brother Brandon, what we've done all we can do. No. Listen, they don't stop at 18 and 19 years old, a college and career, and keep investing and keep pushing, because I'm telling you, we're looking for 100%, and God's able to do that. Doubt is the last one. The fifth letter, the D of destruction, I see doubt. So, Brother Brandon, what do you mean doubt? Losing confidence in God's plan and God's power. How did all this start? Look at verse 13, verse number 8. Bible says in verse 13, verse number 8, and Abram said unto Lot, and this is what really bothered me, Brother Jonathan, Abram's the one that brought it up. You say, well, Brother Brandon, what does that mean? That means that I'm not higher than thee, or I'm not above falling. Little did Abraham know, and Abram know, that he was literally sending his family into their death, literally sending their family into destruction. Verse number 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before us, separate thyself. And I've already preached this, and I'm going to hit it and keep moving, but I've studied this. I've flipped back and forth on page 21 and 22 of the Scofield Bible, and I can't find one time where God said he was not able to supply enough land, enough water, enough food for both of these families. I can't see it. They allowed their life and their situations to overcome and overwhelm. A lot of times the reason that we're in a mess in our life is not because God has placed us in a mess, but we've allowed a mess to enter our life. And that word doubt is simply to be uncertain about something, to believe that something may not be true or is unlikely, to have no confidence in something or someone. And Abram here and Lot, they've lost confidence in the ability that God has to provide for them. I see nowhere in the verses where God told them to separate. In fact, verse number 9 states that there was an abundance of land. Do we ever doubt God and what God is able to do? Now, I said this a while ago, but as we as in our life, just as in Lot, we'd be better off to sell everything we've got and stay with God. Never doubt in the dark. This is another Brother Gammon's comment, and I love Brother Tim, and I wrote this down in the leaf of my Bible many years ago, but never doubt in the dark what God has promised you in the light. What did God promise Abraham? That he's going to take care of his family. He said, Abraham, this world is not your home. You're just a pilgrim passing through. I'm thankful, just as Abraham, I don't belong here. But we'd be better off. He said, Brother Brandon, we've got a great opportunity if we do this. Let me tell you, let me give you an example of this. And I know you wouldn't do this. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, but you just delete this out of your mind. He said, Brother Brandon, we'd love to pack this church every Sunday, and you do. But I'd love to knock out these walls and knock out this wall and fill the parking lot and get on the news. Let me tell you exactly how to do it. You start lowering standards. You start moving things. You start doing something that appeases to them. You start doing something with a youth program, Brother Heath, that contrary to the Word of God, and they'll come by the millions because they're coming because they feel comfortable. You say, Brother Brandon, we don't want them to feel comfortable. We do want them to feel comfortable and welcome. But when they come in, if they can't tell there's something different on the inside than is on the outside, we're not helping them at all. We're not helping them at all. Yeah. Brother Brandon, they're going to be nervous. Listen, I've been nervous. I've been nervous many times and often. I'm not being mean tonight. If you're a Catholic, I'm not preaching down to you. But we got a guy in our church that hangs garage doors, owns a garage door company. He said he went into a Catholic church one time, and the guy said, hey, you got to be quiet working on this door. We got a weeping room right beside it. He said, what are they crying about? He said, no, it's part of our religion. He said, my grandpa had a weeping room too. When you went in, you come out weeping if you went into that room. Said, Brother Brandon, what's that got to do with anything? Understand this, there are some times that we need to be nervous in the house of God. Yes, Brother Brandon, you're the youth pastor. There's sometimes I've got to go to my pastor and say, listen, I want God to forgive me, and I thank you for preaching to my family, and we needed that on a Sunday morning. But Brother Brandon, you're the youth pastor. I don't care if I'm the head pastor. There's sometimes that my family needs preaching. Say, Brother Brandon, why do you come to the altar about every service? Because there's something in every service that all of us can work on. Yeah. Brother Brandon, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about doubting God. You know, God's given us some promises in His Word that we can hold to. He has. I dealt with it this morning in Sunday school, and I'm going to close in just a second, but understand this. Sometimes we doubt God when God's given us promises. You know why we dealt this morning? We're dealing with Abraham and Isaac and offering sacrifices, and God had already promised Abraham and Sarah that He was going to do things with that boy that would not have been possible if he'd have died. So you can think what you want to think, but I believe Abraham that day, Brother Jonathan, literally in his heart believed he was going up that mountain. If God's going to take my son, He's going to have to raise him from the dead. He's going to have to do something because He's already made me promises. Say, Brother Brandon, what in the world is in my life? If there's some things that God's promised you, young people, there's truths that Brother Jonathan, Brother Jeremy, and other men of God that's invested in your life, and they've entrusted things into your life. Let me tell you, the God that they're telling you about that's going to do something for you, He will do it. He will do it. I can't find one place in the Scriptures, closing tonight, where God sent judgment that He didn't first send a rescuer.
That's right.
Not one. I challenge you to go home tonight and flip the pages. Every time judgment comes, God provides an ark. God provides a serpent on a rod. God provides a way out. God provides a Red Sea experience. And all I've got to do is trust God. Brother Brandon, I don't see how God, if I don't do this, if I don't move my family here, if I don't dilute this or distance myself from this, if I don't do this in myself, then we're not going to make it. Let me tell you, there's nowhere in the Scripture where God would have not took care of Abram and Lot's family. But Lot chose, and Abram chose to separate and to go his way. That fifth D is doubting. We would be far better off to sell everything we had, as I said, as Lot would. Never, never, never doubt what God can do. In closing, as the piano player comes tonight, whoever it is, whatever you normally do here is perfectly fine. I would ask you this question, are you headed for destruction? Am I headed for destruction? You know, there's been times before in my life, and as I said, I went to school with some of you, and I can say here in front of her, in front of everybody else, Brother Jonathan, I hadn't always been the person I should have been. I'm not saying I was a terrible Christian, but I certainly wasn't an outspoken Christian. I'm not saying I was a terrible a pastor's son. There's been times I didn't want to be a pastor's kid. There's been times that I was sick and tired. I'll just be honest with you now. I don't know any other way to be honest. Listen, I can take my halo off. There was times you were sick and tired, Brother Jonathan. I thought of being around the things of God, involved in the things of God, not being this level, not being this level, not being able to do this. Why can't I do this? Daddy, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? But I can stay on the other side of it now, not because I'm on staff at a church or not because I'm a guest tonight at your church, but I can say, looking back, God has never failed me. God has never wavered. And I'm so thankful. There's some things that I've done, Brother Jonathan, I wish I wouldn't ever done. It may not have been a gross sin, but it was something on this line. And I began to distance. I began to dilute. I began to doubt. I began to have discord. I began to do all of these things. And what was happening is, thankfully, God got my attention at 18 years old. And I'm thankful. Listen, I know God was calling me to preach and do different things. I understand all of that. But none of that would have been possible had God not rescued my life that night. Brother Brandon, what happened in your life? I knew that I was saved. 8 years old, Liberty Baptist Church, Moxville, North Carolina, Brother Don Ball preaching from Brother Marvin Blackburn. I was saved and I'll never doubt it. I'm thankful for that. But there was a second day in my life that these young people are going to soon learn, and many of them already have. There's a day of salvation, but there's also a day of service to where I give God everything in my life. Am I perfect? I am not perfect. But I seen myself, just as Lot did today, thankfully, I looked up to a warning. Tim Green preaching that night for my daddy at his church, and I remember it vividly, when God set your fields on fire. I remember it, Brother Jonathan, like it was preached tonight, and God told me, listen, if you're going to serve me forever, you're going to serve me starting tonight. Many of you have had that experience in your life. Let me tell you what happened that night. I looked up, and I seen myself walking towards Sodom. I seen myself walking away from the will of God, but I heard a warning. I heard a siren, and I looked up, and God saved my family. God gave me that woman. God gave me those two little boys. God saved one of them, and He's going to save the other one. Why in the world do you know that, Brother Brandon? God made me a promise that night that if I'd take care of his business, Brother Jonathan, he'd take care of my business. What happened that night in Lot's life? I don't know if nobody was warning him. I don't know if he was so tunnel vision that night, that day, headed towards Sodom and Gomorrah, but little did he know that he had let distance, he had let deluding, he had let doubt, he had let discord, all these things creep into his life, and it had him by the throat. Can I tell you tonight, on the side of this road, whatever the name of this road is here in Mount Airy, North Carolina, God sent me by, just as I would have done that day in Pennsylvania, screaming, the dam's going to break, the dam's going to break, just to warn you. If you're drifting, if you're deluding, if you're discord, if you're doubting, don't allow destruction to enter your life. Turn your ears off and walk out of this place. I love you, and I hope that, listen, you're probably way more spiritual than I am, but just maybe there's somebody, Brother Brandon, I'm about to make a decision in my life that's going to leave me with a broken family, leave me with a broken life, a broken testimony, leave me with a broken home, a broken marriage, and it's going to happen. But this preacher came by tonight just to tell you, and I'm nowhere near the best, it's better in this room, but let me tell you, God instructed us to tell you to look up and notice there's some D's and destructions that cannot be in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if we stand tonight, let me close in saying this, destruction always leaves a mark. Jonestown, Pennsylvania does not look the same as it did 1889 because a flood destroyed it. There's many lives that don't look the same because, listen, not saying God can't use you, God can't move, He can. But there's many scars and many marks in our lives just because we've allowed destruction to enter. God has reminded us again tonight to look for the signs of destruction, avoid them at all costs, and never allow destruction to enter our homes, our churches, and our personal life.